Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit.
Woo!
And I'm Dr. Lisa. Those are my enthusiastic guests. They are out of control already. I'm going to introduce you to them in a minute, but there's something I wanted to let you guys know. First of all, let me tell you, it's Radio Free Brooklyn. Did I say that? Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the absolute best radio station in the entire Western Hemisphere. I have heard all of them. This is the best one, and this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. But anyway, I wanted to tell you, we can't stop thinking about Trump, but I just want to tell you something. If he is having a major psychological effect on our group, our entire psyche, our entire universal psyche. I ran into a psychotherapist, psychiatrist expert that I occasionally have perform with me as the expert. He's written books and shit, he teaches. And he was just saying how profound an effect on his clients Trump's presidency has had. That it is really disturbing to his clients, and it's affecting everyone's psyche. And then when I talked to my own shrink about it, she said the same thing. So if you're having depression or anxiety or anything like that because of the atmosphere that, and it's not just Trump, it's the atmosphere that's going on around out in the world right now, you are not alone. It's natural. It's normal. It's not forever. You're going to be okay. Okay, I just want to put that out there. And speaking of that, I am so thrilled to have these two lovely, fantastic, fabulous, brilliant, happy. They look so happy. Woo-hoo! I got some positive energy in here today. Artists, women, feminists, organizers, no bullshit, no take, no prisoners, kick-ass ladies. And they are... Sibeli Vieira. Hello, Sibeli.
Hi, Lisa.
Closer to the mic. I already told you that.
I'm sorry. Hi,
Jesus,
Lisa.
This is a professional station.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You better stick with it, or you know I kick ass, too.
Don't worry. I'll kick your ass, too.
Yeah,
baby.
We're going to have
love
a rumble
you.
In here. And wearing her leather jacket already for a rumble, weighing in at 98 pounds, is Nina Keneally.
Hey, woo-hoo! Lisa.
Okay, so these ladies are part of the Bushwick formal and informal artist organization. We're very well organized here in Bushwick, mostly thanks to Bushwick Open Studios. It's a very sprawling but very tight community. And these ladies both took it upon themselves to organize a bus to get women or get people to the Women's March in Washington, which I think is awesome that they did that. I posted on my Facebook page about them a little bit about an article from the Bushwick Daily about the way that they organized it. But so, ladies, welcome to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit.
We give a shit too, Lisa.
I know, obviously.
A lot.
That's why you're here. So why don't you explain what you did, and then explain, and then we'll talk a little bit about the experience, but just you had a bus.
Yeah, okay, so what happened is they came for the idea of the Women's March, and right now I knew I'm not going to be there. And I think Nina sent me a text or email,
yeah,
like, you know, can we do organizing a bus from Bushwick? And I was, she had this idea, and I was like, of course, why not? You know, so I got her back to her, and
we got the bus. I found a bus, and we reserved the bus. We reserved the bus, and then we just had to fill it. And that was, you know, we got it filled, and actually, I mean, we had a waiting list, and we had people.
You had a waiting list?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And people up to the last minute asking us if we had room on the bus and stuff like that. It started slow, but ended in an avalanche of people.
Oh, actually. See, I when I was in contact with them initially, they were looking for people. But I'm so pleased
was,
to hear
yeah,
that.
It was a very interesting experience, the whole thing about putting the bus together, because it started very slow, as any, I think, artist community does. Like, you know, open everything for an artist.
What month did you start?
Right, it was after like the election. November. Right after
yeah.
the
yeah.
election.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But we had to, the deadline was December 16, something like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because,
so,
yeah.
One week before, we still had like 30 seats available. And we're like, we're not talking that, but like so we have less. So to see how the community is great here, we got a phone call from someone in the community. Like, Cibele, this bus is going to go anywhere. Anyway, if no, I will pay for 20 seats. That's the way to make the bus to go. So that's like,
so
wow.
So you got sponsorship?
We got someone that would sponsor if you couldn't mm-hmm. feel. But by the end,
We didn't need him to sponsor it yeah. because we had enough
that's
people.
That's fantastic. There was this woman, the support. Yeah.
And there was this woman named Lisa Levy who wrote a press release for us that we were able to disseminate that helped us get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
To. That was some classy broad actor helped us with that.
Yeah, you know me, always trying to find an angle. So, so that must have been really gratifying. I mean, and I love that somebody jumped in and offered to pay. Is that a private business person or is that somebody you want to give a shout out to?
I would say I'll give a shout to because it's a person that came out back afterwards and he gave all the material because we had also a sign party a week before mm-hmm. the, you know, so invite people to the community, mm-hmm. people, not just from the bus. Because the whole thing about the bus, we decided we called the Bushwick bus because we didn't want to call it the artist bus or mm-hmm. the female anything because mm-hmm. we want everybody that would feel welcome to come mm-hmm. to the bus. Mm-hmm. So we called the Bushwick bus. Everybody was welcome.
Right. And you made a sign making party that was well attended that my husband, Phil Bueller, covered for the Bushwick Daily. And there were tons of photos and great signs.
Brooklyn Fireproof gave us the space, the gallery mm-hmm, space. Mm-hmm, you know, thank you so mm-hmm. much, you know, for Brooklyn Fireproof to providing the space for the sign party. And Paul Bauman from Handmade Frames in Bushwick also, he offered to pay for the seats, which was not, no, we thank Paul because by the end, Paul gave us all the boards for the signs and he gave also material for the painting and crafts.
So people really jumped
yeah,
in. That's really great to hear that.
I do some work at a gallery, David and Schweitzer, here in Bushwick. And
yeah, great gallery.
And they donated hand and foot warmers and energy bars
so nice.
And gum and everything else.
So people really, it was a really supportive experience. That's so great to hear that. Did you know everybody on the bus? Tell me about the people that were on the bus. By the way, when you guys asked me, I just want my listeners, the unemployed people sitting out there in front of their TV sets and radios maybe you just go out at night and you're just waking up. So anyway, I just want you to know that when I was approached about joining it, I was like, 4:30 in the morning to get on a bus? No fucking way.
It was four.
Four.
Four. And then I felt bad about that because I thought it was great. But I was like, they probably hate me now because I made fun of them. But I mean, I'm just being honest.
No, but I got to say, I was impressed. Everybody made it by four, too. Everybody mm-hmm. was on time to go. It was amazing.
The bus left 4:05.
Right.
4:05. So what were the people like? Were there people that you knew, men and women? Was anybody dressed weird? Tell me about the people on the bus.
Well, there were some people we knew, and there were complete strangers. Actually, when the bus first started filling up, it was almost all women, but towards the end, the men got into it and wanted to get on the bus, too. So we had a real mix of people, mix of ages, mix of sexes.
Mm-hmm. What, locals and artists, or people who, or yeah. was it mostly all artists? Or
I think mostly was all artists, but I still some people not, you know.
And there was a boyfriend or girlfriend or two, a significant other or two that were not artists, that were,
yeah.
there was a guy who was.
So was it like dead silence? At 4 in the morning, was everybody just like sleeping? What was it like?
Ate first.
Did you have a bathroom on the bus?
Yes, of course we had a bathroom on the bus.
Okay, so
actually, somebody organized. I didn't think this would even happen. We left in front of Hannah Natural, and someone organized to get them in there at 4 o'clock in the morning to make 50 different sandwiches, bagels, bacon, egg and cheese sandwiches, and everything else. So the people had stuff to eat as we left on the bus.
So you brought sandwiches and gave them out?
No. Someone organized. Someone from the bus. Corinne.
Corinne.
Yes.
Yeah.
She organized. She collect people's choice.
Service.
It. Yes, was amazing. She was amazing. Yep. She took care of her.
Wow, that's so
people
cool.
People very proactive.
So people ate and chatted for a while, and then it got quiet. Then people tried to go back to sleep for a little while.
So what happened when you got to Washington?
Yeah, the trip was very fast. I thought we were going to get there like 10:30 or 10 a.m. We got there at 9.
Yep.
So it was really fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very, very easy trip over there. Yep.
Well, props to the bus company. They're the people who said leave at 4, because if you leave later, you're going to get stuck in traffic. And
this
you're
is
get
true.
There really
I can
late,
tell you
so.
That from my own experience. But go ahead.
So we got there and we decided not. We have most of us have the tickets for the subway, but we decided to walk to the church,
St. Mark's Episcopal Church on 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
A big clap for them. Thank you so much for the church service.
They opened up their doors. They provided coffee, tea, fruit,
hot chocolate,
yogurt, baked goods, all sorts of
bathrooms, stuff. Clean bathrooms.
Wow, that is so nice.
And we got to know about them through Jane Joy, one of a fellow from Bushwick as well. She's an artist, and she was painting for We Make America, the great artist group that was making all these amazing signs.
Oh, wow. Right.
And they got in touch with the church, and Jane Joy, come to join us over there. Everybody's welcome.
So you mean that was like a meeting place?
Right. So okay. We were able to get there, walk over there, have something to eat, use the bathroom, get mm-hmm. ourselves ready to go to the main rally.
Uh-huh. And so what happened at the rally? Were you guys all together, or what was the feeling like there?
Well, what was amazing was walking there and just seeing this sea of people all heading in the same direction. It was just amazing. I mean, you knew immediately that it was going to be a much larger number than that 200,000 people projection they had originally said. It was just exciting. I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Oh.
So the church was just behind the Capitol. Okay. So mm-hmm. we had to go over the hill and go down the Capitol. And that's when you see the sea of people. To me, actually, it was the moment that I will never forget for the rest of my life. Because mm-hmm. we're going down, we're seeing this sea of people in pink hats, mm-hmm. And these ladies came behind us, and it was like maybe 5 ladies. To me, they're my angels, okay? And they came, and there was a silence between us, and they started to sing, "We Shall Overcome."
Wow.
There is a video.
So cool.
No, it was the coolest thing. Ventico actually has a video now that she takes with me, and I'm just like blowing and listening to these ladies, and I look at them. They feel like they're all old feminists, and they're just giving the torch to us, And one of them, they look at me, that has beautiful blue eyes, and she's singing. It was just like, that moment
wow.
to me was just like,
spiritual.
I will never forget. Yes.
Wow. Can you send me that video? I'll post it along with everything else.
Yes.
You can send it to me. So that sounds really amazing.
And it was amazing, too, because then we also knew that it was a people's march at that time, because we saw men and we saw children and we mm-hmm. saw people of all sorts there and people starting to chant, responsive chants like, men would go, "Her body, her choice." Women would go, "My body, my choice."
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. just other mm-hmm. other things. Everyone was, the energy was so exciting and so huge.
Did you guys hang out with all the Bushwick people?
So it's very difficult.
Did everybody stick together?
That was very...
Not all 50.
Was there any fights? Was there any fights?
Well, the way back a little bit.
Was there tension?
Yeah. What was
the tension about? That's the most important part.
The tension back was just the way back, the timing, leaving,
people weren't ready
time
to
get,
go.
No, time, well, I was not ready to go. And Nina was ready to go.
Sibeli was her usual pain in the ass. And we
yes.
had to drag her on the bus. Yeah. That was the whole problem.
I want to stay in March.
So what happened? So what happened? Did people split up into groups?
Yeah, there were a couple little groups.
Because I think it was very difficult. And I was like, is like so many people that you got cut and other people come marching in front of you. And you want to see, for example, by the end, I think we stick together like 15 people really strong together and really take each other. Even that, when it got almost in front of the White House, we have to go right, and we had Kurt Steiger and Maggie Hitchcock, and they did disappear in the crowd. And we sat there and started to yell at them and put our cards, because one thing that we realized, the signs also sign where you are, so people could see and come back to the group.
Right,
we had a great big banner that Linda Schmidt and some other
people
made.
Oh, yeah, Linda Schmidt made this beautiful.
So we were able to you could look up and see that banner, and you knew where your group was, which was fantastic.
Just so you know, I was with Phil Bueller, shout out Phil, who took photographs at the sign-making party, and he was desperate to find you guys. I mean, I wanted to find you guys too, but he was like he was like really on that, and he really wanted to follow up on photographing you guys So we were reminded of you a lot.
Well, there was, you know, we got as close to the main stage as we could get. We were actually closer than we thought we were. We didn't realize, but it was such gridlock. I mean, mm-hmm. we must have stood it before the actual march started in that one place for over an hour and a half without being able to move.
Yeah, but the official march never really started.
Right.
Because with so many people.
No. The 2 mile route was filled.
Yeah, it was supposed to start at 2, right?
But never.
But it just happened all day.
Could not have started because mm-hmm. there's no space for people to march.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the beginning, it was filled from the end of the march, from the end of the march to the beginning of the march. So you couldn't. So that's why eventually the police and stuff let people just march down Constitution Avenue, march down Pennsylvania Avenue because there were so many people and nowhere to put them.
Right.
And also, one of the greatest thing to me was seeing the pictures of the inauguration day and making all those
that's so awesome.
All those empty, those, how to say, those.
The mall.
Pennsylvania Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
The bleachers were completely empty at the inauguration day.
For us, they were completely full.
And people just
showed him.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, was so cool. It's like, you know, all the bleachers full of people that got tired, you know, and they're cheering us. So people, it's like all these pink hats cheering, people are passing.
And some of the museums on Pennsylvania Avenue, the Press Museum, whatever that's called. Mm,
yeah.
People were out on the balcony there cheering and applauding. It was really exciting.
So how did you, like, feel? Did you feel like, did you feel encouraged or less despondent about it, or like what was the feeling? Was it just, it sounds like it was very gratifying to be there and be part of something bigger than one person.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you had to feel that you were in it with a lot of people, that it is a mass movement, and that there is hope, and people are willing, at least are starting to be willing to go out and work for the change they want to see. So it was amazing.
Well, that's one of the things that I have noticed recently, and I think you guys would agree, is that there's been a lot of, we are now seeing people more active. There's activism, in a way that never was happening before, right?
But I think the only way that we will really overcome is everybody, no coward. You know, everybody has to be there and, you know, be present. Like, I don't know if you guys watched yesterday the amazing, you know, Greenpeace, you know, and you know, I watched, you know, Nancy Hernandez talking from the top of the, you know, and she's saying, we all have to overcome our fears. Look what I am right now. And she's in the middle of nowhere, like on top of the world, and she's there protesting, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to resist. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, though, this experience kind of bonded you with other people on the bus, people that you had the experience with? Like, did you make any new friends, ladies?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure. And even people I knew somewhat superficially, I got to know better. And it was it's a wonderfully profound shared experience. And going on what Sibeli was saying, too, the other thing is you have to get out. If you sit at home all day and just look at your Facebook feed or Twitter and, you know, read all this stuff, and you're bound to be beaten down into
depressed.
A puddle of whatever. But if you go out with other like-minded people and make your voices heard and your faces seen, it may not change things immediately, but it starts to, and it makes you feel a hell of a lot more empowered.
So you felt like you really did something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
I felt really good to bring in, no.
See, do you hear that, you guys out there? You people out there, if you're sitting around at home, like listening to this crap on radio, don't, you know, get out there. Don't stay home.
You are not alone.
Yeah. Go out there and do something. Do anything. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, this march or this thing doesn't count, this thing, nothing's going to change. And one action is not going to change anything. It's all the actions
cumulative.
Together. It's the cumulative thing. So anything you do, whether it's, and I also heard that calling your legislators is better than sending emails. That's the best thing to do. Put your legislators on direct dial, speed dial. Just keep calling. So were there any, like, surprises or weird shit that happened?
I don't know. no weird shit.
No. Did you have trouble?
But the fantastic
did you go to the bathroom? How'd you go to? Did you go to the bathroom when? Did anybody? That's what I always worry about. I talked about this last week. That the whole thing about these marches worry me about when I get to go to the bathroom.
Well, you know, we went at the church, and then you know, a couple times you go to the porta potties. It's not the most
we're
fun
porta potties.
Yeah. I was very impressed and proud of myself that I didn't go to the bathroom any time. I think my body was made for that. I kind of shut down. Like I couldn't need to go to the bathroom. I didn't feel any hunger. The adrenaline just kicked in, and I was
so
just
figures.
Doing it.
Yeah. That's so figures. Everybody, that's no, so Sibeli.
It is. But you know, it could be worse. You know, I mean, you kind of hold your nose, you don't look, and you run in and you run out. You know, what
yeah,
are you going to do?
It was fine. It was fine. Yeah. It was fine. So what? Let's talk about what you think. Like what? Where did this all leave you? Where did this leave you?
What
so
did
you
do
came
more?
Home. You came home. What happened that night? What time did you get back?
11:30 11:40 I think the bus parked back at 11:40
Yeah. So what was that like? Were you like beat?
I went to the bar and drank.
Shit, Sibeli, are you really a human or is there some kind of...
I feel like, no, look, I'm a mom.
Where do you get all this energy?
Yeah, I'm a mom, you know, and I didn't have my kid that night. You know, and some people like, let's go for a drink. And I was shooting my adrenaline kicking and like, I want to share what I know. I feel like people want to talk. I want to talk too. And a beer is the best way. So I did.
So everybody, was there a contingency from the bus maybe that went out for drinks?
Maybe just six
11?
People. Just
That's
six people.
Cool.
Of, yeah.
No. Good job.
Well, what so, somebody passed around a bottle on the bus.
Oh, yeah. There's some alcohol going on the bus too.
Coming
yeah.
home. So, you know, we were all.
You mean from the driver?
Yeah, it was the driver's stash. Yeah.
And did you guys meet up with the Bushwick bitch bus?
No,
people?
We didn't. No,
did you
we
meet
did.
Them? Wait, was that box. Competition or what did you?
No.
No, not competition. It's just that, you know, unless you had set up a place to meet someone and really did it early, it would have been impossible.
It's so crazy. Yeah, no, yeah. Cara actually
tell
came.
Phil she, that. Mm. I got to tell you, Phil was really a pain in the ass about this because he wanted to see you guys so bad. We were staying in Arlington with these friends of ours who lived there, so, and one of them was with us, so we couldn't just ditch him, and we were all together, and I thought we were having a great time, and Phil kept saying, where are they?
Yeah, he kept texting me, where are you guys? But I was there, like, I'm sorry, Phil,
and,
like, no.
Yeah, and he's like, come on, we gotta find them, and like, so Phil was a pain in the
I'm telling
ass.
You, it was more than,
Phil,
what do you think, Lisa?
Ass.
You were there, I think it was much more than 1 million people. I think just 500 plus is ridiculous.
It was one of those experiences, well, I did some, you know, we made some video ourselves. Did you know that? Did you
yeah,
see
I
it?
Watched
yeah,
it. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was sort of caught up in my own thing, and Phil did an amazing job, and so we were busy with that. What I'm hearing from you was a little bit different because going in a group, I think that you're always in a group. You have that group mentality from the get-go. I mean, there was a little bit of observerness more, I think, from my point of view. But it was sort of incomprehensible how many people were there. I mean, it was just endless, endless people everywhere you looked. And it was almost impossible for me to get a sense of how many people were there because unless you had that overhead view, it was just like people everywhere. This
we
could
should,
be a million people.
We had no helicopters. Yeah, we had no helicopters, nothing. So, like, yeah. You know, we were everywhere. So there's no picture that can really say, you know, how many people were there.
I will say this, though. The feeling that you're describing of euphoria almost was present for me.
Yeah.
Everybody was just beaming and there was like I'm a pretty cynical person, but I have to say there was some kind of spiritual energy there.
Oh, totally, yeah. There were, and I mean, it was amazing to see there were little children, there were kids in strollers, kids in carriages. There were people in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
There were women with walkers. I mean, it was just the people who really were committed. No matter what it took to come out for this, that alone was inspiring and energizing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really, I was amazed how many old people were there. you know,
every
old ladies. Yeah, every age and men and everything. So I just want to remind people that we're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and we're talking about two Bushwick organizers, Sibeli Vieira and Nina Keneally. We're talking with these lovely ladies about their experience organizing the bus from Bushwick to the Women's March in Washington. So let's talk about moving forward. How's that? So what did you get from this experience? Like, what's your takeaway?
Well, we felt it was a start. It's a beginning, and it's a start of something that we want to help continue and affect real change for it. Because, you know, it is one thing to go to a march in Washington and feel really great. It's another thing to keep this going and oppose the policies that we don't like now and keep the freedoms that we have come to take for granted a little bit and expect. So we've been taking some time this week to start to figure out how to do that best.
Yeah. And so what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, the day after was very kind of, we started to get all these emails back and texts and people, what are you going to do next, you know?
Oh.
And all, no. And
you
all,
mean from people involved in it or people reading about it or hearing about
everybody.
It?
Everybody. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I got texts and emails and phone calls, like, what can we do next, you know? And to me, also, like, I know, I'm an immigrant. I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a Latina. I'm an immigrant.
You
know,
you're from
and
Brazil.
My mother. I'm from Brazil. And now, so for me, everything is so personal right now. It's really takes me crazy. And we have all this network that we've been creating, all this community that we've been creating here, and we're getting all this now. And also, there's so many issues we all care about. You know, from environment to women's, you know, to Black Lives Matter, and everybody. We all care about, but some people care more about this, some people care more about that. It's like, so it's like, it's very overwhelming, actually. I was talking to Karen Martz on Facebook because she put a list of things now, and we just feel like we're being bombarded by this man from every angle
it's
as
crazy.
Possible.
Right,
okay?
Right. It's insane.
Yeah, we've all been getting messages about do these five things, do this, these seven things, call these 16 people, write these other five. You can't do it all, it starts to overwhelm you. So what we've been thinking about is how do you take, you know, just find what you're the most passionate about and work on that within a larger scope where other people are working on what they're passionate about, too.
Yeah, so try to create maybe like, you know, divide to conquer, you know. So we're trying to think about like a format that we... Everybody is going to do what they're more passionate about it, but without losing the mind of the other issues, you know. But at the end, when the action needs to be done by the bigger group, we can all come together for that issue and work together. So we're trying to create maybe like, you know, use the community to, you know, to together divide and keep everybody else update about what's going
so
on
maybe
in
like
the actions.
A, like a group of committees?
That's basically.
Yes.
So are you feeling, as well you should, that you have sort of helmed something that you could take, you have the infrastructure? I mean, you kind of did, because you guys were very involved in organizing artists in Bushwick anyway, naturally, from before. So do you feel like you can take the same group or infrastructure, and are you thinking about moving forward with it?
Okay, I don't think I can take myself anything, okay, because I feel like this is bigger than, now it has to be a group. Yeah, but definitely we got on Sunday people offering us a space for meetings and stuff like that. We got like, you know, offering things, and we know that if we need, you know, something, we know who to look for in the community.
Right.
You know, so yes. So the idea is basically maybe create a bigger group, dividing committees, and keep working together, you know.
So are you envisioning like...
Because in 2 years from now, we have to take back the Congress.
Yes, of course.
That's a major goal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. So... Are you thinking about having, say, like one big meeting and then having committees come out of that or something like? Are you thinking about making something happen?
Yes.
Something.
Leading. I'm asking
you
guys.
Right now, I'm
looking. We need this kind of leadership.
Right now, it's not leadership. We're trying to divide. We want leaders to come up with the issues they care about it. They can engage now a little group, and they can make little actions. And after that, if they need a bigger action for the bigger group, we all together do a bigger action.
And when I say leaders, I don't mean like in the political sense of leading. I mean leading the way that you've led to up till now, because this bus probably would not have happened, or at least not have happened the same well organized way if you guys hadn't done it. So it must have been gratifying to feel like you can get something done. Did it feel like an achievement? Come on, guys.
I think it was achievement, but I never thought we could not have done. Okay, I think we did bigger tasks already here in the community.
Right.
You know, so so this was, I think,
I don't feel like it was a personal achievement. I mean, it was an idea, and it's just the kind of thing that both for Sibeli and I, when we get an idea to get something done, we just do it. You know, it's not.
So you guys are natural at it. That's what it
is. I don't know, natural. We're just like, you know, it's not like, you
look,
know.
Look, just get this shit together, please. If you can, look, you guys already proved you could get your shit together and help these deadbeat artists make their lives worthwhile. Don't give up now. Just keep going with it.
But we need everybody's help now. Yeah. That's not like, you know.
We do.
Right.
We do need everybody's help.
You know what? The important thing, again, and one of the important things about Bushwick in general, when it works best, is it's a community affair.
Of course.
And we need the community to come together and all work on this.
Yeah.
Because two crazy women aren't going to do it all.
I'm just saying, like, who's going to put the Facebook invite together? I mean, I'll send out the press release again. What the hell? It worked.
Right.
So this is making me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, there is sort of some sort of, like, comfort, and even more than comfort, buoyancy in knowing, like, that, in knowing that, you know, you're not alone in this?
Oh, yeah, that's, I think, the biggest thing of the march gave us, you know, is we're all in fear alone at home before. And when I went down the hill and saw those people, I was like, no, we are not alone. Look, now if all here is stand together, now.
You know, it's really weird because just me, myself, and somebody who's worked in corporate America as a freak, like, I often, and I know a lot of people feel the same way I do, whether they're real weirdos or not. You feel like, a lot of times I just feel like a weirdo. And
we're all weirdos.
I know, and I know a lot of people.
We're all bozos on this bus.
No, but I know a lot of people feel that way. They feel like they're weird freaks in their own, like, world, trying to navigate and get along with everybody. And this is so uniting, and that you wind up, I mean, for me, this whole movement has made me feel like part of something, and that it makes me feel just more accepted as a human.
Well, and the other thing I want to say is, you know, I'm older than Sibeli, I'm older than you, Lisa,
by a month or two.
I marched in Washington in the 60s and against Vietnam all that kind of stuff.
I've been a teenager.
Too. Yeah. But what I'm really thrilled about right now is seeing the people younger than we are, who all of a sudden are waking up to know that they have to get involved in their world and the politics and that they have to do a little less navel-gazing and a little more activism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, millennials.
Because it's about their future.
That's right. Fucking get out. I told you that earlier. Get out of your house.
It's their future, too. I mean, really, it's their future for a lot longer than it's my future. So they really have to put boots on the ground, too.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was going to make an OxyContin heroin joke, but that's not even funny. That's not funny. That's not something you can joke about. We got to be careful nowadays. You know, somebody got fired from Saturday Night Live from ranking on Trump's son, which... You know,
actually, we still need to be funny. We still need to laugh.
No,
we need to
laugh.
Find humor and stuff.
Yeah, but let's make fun of this shit that really.
No, but there's boundaries. I agree. I have a kid. No, that's like.
Yeah,
that's,
we should be nice to children.
Yes.
Especially Trump's kid, because I think he needs compassion more than.
Perhaps.
More than a lot of us, more than a lot of people out there. I want to give you some of the stuff that I've heard. I want to hear your reaction to a conversation I had today. I had a conversation with a friend of mine today who's from Nebraska. And she was saying she's an educated feminist type person. But she was saying, and I agree with this, that a lot of us we're called privileged liberals or elitists or whatever, and we are, because we're educated and we're all that shit, and we have food on the plate, on our tables, and your children have shoes, things like that.
Secondhand.
Nevertheless, I've seen them. So what I'm saying is that my friend was saying that she has relatives living in trailer parks. And there are a lot of people in the Rust Belt and out there that are living in trailer parks and are living without any ever having any hope of health insurance. They have three jobs. They have drug, you know, heroin problems. I mean, you know, and some of them are Trump voters and some of them just probably can't even get through the day enough to get to a poll. So what do you say? So she says that this marching and things like that aren't going to affect those people, that those people need, you know, that in other words, caring about, you know, Planned Parenthood or something like that, even though it benefits them, is like a luxury, or a lot of things that we are all complaining about is a luxury. What do you guys say to that?
I disagree. I think now we all drink the same water. No, if the environment goes down, the earth goes down, we all go down. There's no, like, we're all the same in that aspect, so, no.
But those people must, and all of, you know, our fellow Americans like that want to have a better life. And the thing that we believe strongly is with the policies that the current president is starting to institute, their lives will not be better. So when we're marching for them. They may not be able to get to Washington or afford to get to Washington, but we're not just marching for our liberal selves.
Mm-hmm.
We're marching for what we believe is right in the world that will help other people in our country and around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I think education is something that, you know, should be for everybody, no, not for just liberals, you know. And I think the trailer park people are there because, unfortunately, they didn't have education, you know. A mm-hmm. lot of times they didn't have, no. And probably because they live in states that, you know, that the government doesn't really offer them, no, more education. It's like, it's horrible. It's like...
You know, I heard some said, it was a Republican congressman, I don't remember, saying that, these women marching out there, why, you know, if they can afford to go to Washington and all that, they can afford to buy their own birth control. So why should we have to buy their birth control? And it was like, yeah.
What an asshole.
What an asshole. But also, you know, yeah, the women who can't afford birth control were probably not marching there that day because, yes, they couldn't afford to get there. So it's up to us to fight for them, too, because they need somebody to fight for them. They need somebody to be on their side for that.
Actually, on Monday, I came down to my studio, and I was, before I was at Y, and I was talking to, you know, people that I go every day, and, like, you know, the lady that works in cleaning the, you know, the Y, and I asked, did you have the chance to go to the march? And she said, no, I was working. And I went to my studio and talked to the guys that work and also fixing the building. Do you guys heard about anything? No, we were working, you know. So those people, they, you know, like, but no, I feel very connected. It's the people that I talk to them every day, you know, is intersectional. Mm-hmm. And I know when I'm marching for them as well. You know, just like those are me, it's my people too, you know, and they are my friends, the people that mm-hmm. I see every day. I know their names, I know they have families. So.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Did you get any pushback? Was there anybody? I mean, I hear so many stories about hate mail and stuff like that. Did you get any negative feedback from anybody or any harassment? I mean, there's harassment.
I haven't got any harassment.
Nor I. You know, before we went, a couple people said to me, oh, be safe. Oh, be careful. You know, you know. Like they were worried something might happen. And
I was worried, too.
Sure. I mean, I was concerned, too. But I still went because it was important to go.
It was never going to stop me.
Yeah.
So what do you think, like, Bushwick or artists in general, like, what, how are they, what's special about them? Or what role do they have? What's going to be different? Are we have a different kind of... Is being in Bushwick different? We have so many, like, we're kind of in a little bit of an echo chamber.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, the role artists play in general, and this is in Bushwick too, is they're able to get some a different kind of visibility because, I mean, there were amazing signs that people made, or they can write songs that people hear. I mean, and that gets attention. But every single person, whether they do that or not, is just as valuable. And as long as they, you know, continue to take their action and talk to their friends and their families about it. I mean, you know, I don't want to say, you know, I think Bushwick is special, but I'm sure the people who live in, you know, a corner of Detroit thinks their corner is special. So I don't play that game, mm-hmm. and I think that's when people when you play too much of that, that's when the people talk about the liberal elites or the mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to be pigeonholed into that,
mm-hmm.
or let Bushwick be pigeonholed into that.
Well, one of the things that really concerns me is that we don't understand what the Trump voters think or feel or what their lives are like. I feel like we are very dismissive of them. Do you see that? Would you agree with that?
You know, I the town I grew up in Pennsylvania, went heavily Trump in this election. And mm-hmm. not that I go back there very often, although there's still some family there and stuff like that. I would like to – I understand the frustration that many of those Trump voters felt in terms of the political system and not feeling recognized and not heard. I understand that, and I understand why they would want to change. The thing that I don't understand is why they were not willing – to do their homework about facts and issues and truth versus fiction versus alternative facts. They just went with this emotional response without having any foundation in reality. And that's what I don't forgive. I don't forgive that they wanted change and they were mm-hmm. and they looked for someone else and they had questions about Hillary, but I don't forgive them for not knowing what Donald Trump and his ilk really stand for.
Well, that's how the media works. I mean, I know from advertising, it's always about trying to get an emotional twist to get somebody hooked into something. So that's these people, I mean, it's true. I mean, what do we do about that? People are not going to read the newspaper. They're not going this.
No, they watch the reality show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do we get around that? Or what do we do?
I think those are the things, as we talk about taking actions and going out and educating people.
Educating
that
people.
We, you know, we were talking before Sibeli and I about, you know, for the midterms elections, going out to swing states and talking to people and doing that. You know, we can talk. We don't. You can't. You know, New York is a done deal. We're not going to. We don't need to change too many minds in New York.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I hope so.
No.
But
well, yeah.
we'll have to make sure that this stays the next election, you know, a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. Like, don't give anything for granted because we said he was not going to be the Republican nominee, and he was. We said that she was going to win, and she lost. Now people are saying, oh, he's not going to last a month. He's going to last 6 months. He probably will because we're saying those things right now.
Mm-hmm.
We should not take anything more for granted. Mm-hmm. New York can go down. If they divide us, we're going to go down. It's not going to be a sanctuary city anymore. So don't mm-hmm. take anything for granted anymore. The rules that we used to know, they're gone. The new rules that we don't understand anymore is now new grounds. We're in alternate parallel states of like a universe, you know.
You know, I've taken people who hate me. I've taken because I still have some people I know who do not share my views. But if they, or even people I do know who sometimes post false news on social media or something, they don't know it. They just immediately post something as they've read a headline. They don't mm-hmm.
repost something,
and I call them out on it immediately. Yes. I mean, I think we have to call people out on what we when we
so
know.
Speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I've heard that also. Like, if you see somebody being mistreated with, you know, as you know, or discriminated against, if you're a witness to that, you got
to
talk up.
You
can't let you can't be quiet. Sibeli, you're from Brazil.
Yes.
How long have you been in this country again? Forever.
Almost 19 years.
19
years.
It
is my country. I'm a citizen now.
And you're married. You've been married for how long?
Actually, I'm not married.
You're not married?
No.
Why do I've asked you this before. I should know that.
Because we call husband and wife because people understand better. Like,
well,
people,
you produce a lovely, handsome, smart,
my baby
darling
boy.
Child
mm-hmm.
who's also very cultivated at this point. I've never seen a kid at art opening so much. He knows
he
every. He's really
every
more artist. He's definitely going to hate art when he grows up.
or he's going to be an artist, or he's going to hate art.
He's going to hate art.
No,
like my stepson. So You have family in Brazil and stuff like that. Do you hear much from them? What's their point of view? Have you heard?
Oh,
much?
Brazil is a mess right now. Like, you know, so yeah, Brazil is such a mess.
They got their own shit.
They have a huge shit going on over there. They barely have time for the rest of the world. We have our own Trump over there.
Basically. So you've seen this?
Yeah.
Oh, and I was born in a dictatorship in Brazil. So I've seen that as well.
You have memories of that?
I have memories of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. When my dad lost his, he was used for government.
Your father used to work for the government?
Yeah, he lost his job because of dictatorship, because he was against the dictatorship. And now he almost went in jail. It's a whole family.
Really?
Yeah, so we have our whole history.
How old were you?
I was born in 73. 68, we had the coup. So I was how much older?
No, but like, you know, 5 or 6, that kind of age. Was it frightening for you?
I don't remember a lot.
You don't remember
that
a
aspect.
Lot,
like, I remember the feeling, you know, but growing up with that, there's things we never. My parents not even stay inside the house because they are afraid that we go to school and say. So we never call. We call the president and not the dictator, and was a general. But we kept the distance. My dad was very careful about talking issues around us. And when finally we come to democracy over there, everybody came out. It's like, finally we can talk, we can sing again,
So
the only thing we do at home actually was singing. Because, as an arts community, we're going to see that metaphor goes way beyond anything. Music and metaphor goes way beyond, it's very difficult to people to condemn metaphor.
So people were afraid to speak up even in their own homes?
Oh, yes.
Were you afraid the home was bugged?
No, they're afraid for we have kids. We have kids around. The kids are going to go out in school and say things.
I see.
So people are afraid, So it was very interesting.
Wow. So do you see any parallels between that time and this? Is it a trigger?
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go back there.
You don't want to go back there, meaning?
That kind of state of where people cannot talk in their homes now.
Can you picture that happening?
Oh, yes.
You can?
I can.
You can picture that happening because of Trump?
Of course.
Wow.
And that actually, the march made me
surprised to hear her say that? I'm a little surprised.
I'm not surprised to hear her say that. I'm a little more skeptical of it, although I'm not. I wouldn't be totally surprised either. I think anything can happen. But I also think, because you made a good point, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world. Again, the United States is not a bubble.
No.
Brexit in the UK is a big issue. The
rise
of the socialist, the extreme right, Marine Le Pen in France.
Yeah, right.
The woman who's named Petra, whatever her name is, in Germany, who's, threatened Angela Merkel, and everything that's percolating over there because of the immigrant crisis. We are not alone in this. And it would do us well to keep an eye on the entire world, just not only Washington, because it's all of a piece. And especially as Trump talks about, moving the embassy to Jerusalem and Israel in the Middle East, all that too. There's a lot to keep an eye on, and we have to. It is an international world right now.
Yeah, but my fear comes because I believe that democracy is made by respecting institutions. When the president don't respect his own chair, how people are going to respect? It's just like that's people's like, oh, but in America, we have great institutions, great history. Now, Iran used to have two. Brazil, before dictatorship, used to have two. Chile used to have two. Keep your eyes open. Institutions can go down very easily if people don't respect them.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Sorry, guys.
You got me. I'm like totally, I'm afraid of a nuclear war.
Me too. Now, that's the problem. Brazil can go down and shit right now, but we don't have nuclear power. U.S. have.
Yeah, but you could get nuked. But do you think if you have nukes, you're more likely to be nuked?
I think so.
Probably, right?
Definitely.
If you have that. What's your take on, tell me a little more about like the men on the bus and the men in the march. What's your take on that?
I love them.
Yeah. Did you think there was enough men?
No.
No. But there were more than I thought there could be.
Yes, I think it's more than I thought it would be. Yeah. But they were very vocal, and they were very brothers. Like, you know, they really, like, you know, we couldn't hear them, like, you know, their body, their choice. You know, her body, her choice. They were very vocal. They really were there for us. Mm-hmm. They won't know. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that women are just more active in this kind of, they're just more motivated to do things? Or where are the guys? Where are those guys? Did you speak to a lot of guys about this when you were organizing the bus?
I think it was a women's march. My husband didn't go. Okay. Peter thought, you know, he came to the sign and he's like, he felt like, oh, is really the signs of a thing is about women's movement. And, you know, I'm anti-Trump, you know. And so he decided to stay home also to take care of Sam, you know, our son. And he ended up, actually, he went to the march in New York. But he was very, you know, supportive of, mm-hmm. you know, of me going. And he never asked me time. Just go and do whatever you have to mm-hmm. do. And he came home. He was very proud and hugged mm-hmm. me, you know. But I understand it was kind of was our march. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're starting the resistance. We are starting now. Mm-hmm. But I think the next march, they're going to be there. I have no doubt that every man that I know mm-hmm. is going to be there.
Yeah, I agree. I think because it was originally called the Women's March, and then some guys were put off about that to start with. And uh-huh. even once they opened the door and said, this is for everybody, right. still there was some leftover resistance to that. But I also, like I said, I did find that the closer it got and the more the momentum got, more men wanted to go and did decide to go.
Yeah, I do think that the momentum did push.
So,
push
and
men.
I agree with Sibeli that the next mm-hmm. large action will be completely across the board.
Yeah, yeah. I also, in my experience, and what do you guys think about this? My experience, by the way, this show is usually never political or never even like this is a we're having like a real interview show. This never happens here. I didn't even get into like, you know, your psychotic histories. That'll have to be different time. But look at me. I sound like I know. Didn't I sound like I know what I was talking about?
Yes,
look,
doctor.
Look at me. I'm talking about politics. Jesus Christ. I don't know anything, really. I watch
MSNBC. We're all learning. Yeah. We're being called to action.
So anyway, but I just wanted to say that I think that, you know, it's really interesting. My observation or my sense of things, just my vibe of what's going on is that men are actually, or heterosexual, maybe all men, but certainly heterosexual men are more pissed off about Trump in their own way because I think that they feel emasculated by him in a certain way. I think he's very emasculating because he is so focused on the lowest form of evaluating power that he kind of pushes a lot of buttons. I don't even know if a lot of men are aware of that, but I think he's pointing out that he's the alpha. He wants to be the alpha guy.
I can't speak for, you know, all for any men at all.
You speak for all men.
I'm going to speak for everybody.
I like men, by the way.
But me too. But I will say, especially I think right now, white men feel that way because Trump represents everything that is wrong with white men.
But we have we're talking about.
Could be
the
wrong.
Man that we know, right. Because the man that vote for him actually feel the opposite. They feel emasculated before, and now they're finally getting their masculinity.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's an excellent point.
If you see all those motorbikers over there and the videos for Inauguration Day, they feel like, oh, I'm got back my balls
now. I got back my balls. Trump got me my balls back. Maybe that's Trump got me my balls back. That's what they should be saying.
And the women should be back in the kitchen, and the Mexicans should be back in Mexico, and
I think a lot of women do want to be back in the kitchen. I do. I think a lot of the women that voted for Trump, they want to have a guy who's going to be the boss. Do you think that's true at all?
I think those 52% of women, probably, perhaps, I think they're brainwashed. They still, they can, no. And I also feel like they're brainwashed. They're married, and I feel like that they can't wake. Can you imagine if those women wake up and see the next, where they're sleeping next, and where the children, the boys that they're raising, and how they treat them? Like, how can they cope with that? Mm-hmm. It's easier to keep No, sleeping, even a nightmare, is sometimes easier to keep that dream going, because if you wake up, you spend 30 years of your life living that.
I mean, I don't know if it's this election, but when I was living in Connecticut several, elections ago, there, I was amazed at the number of women who I tried to talk to about politics. And they would say, oh, I don't care about any of it. It will never change. I don't know who to vote for. I'll just vote for whoever my husband tells me to vote for.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think a lot of women are still, I think that we all have to know about that. That's like those, like I was saying, people in trailer parks and people in the Rust Belt. There are a lot of women out there who we need to get to who are still voting the way their husband wants them to vote. I think it's so sad and so common, right? I mean,
it's
you see
it. It makes me want to smack my head against the
wall,
quite frankly.
That's what we gotta work on getting those chicks on board. And I don't know how you do that, but I think that is something the women's movement can do, is get other women and say, look how great it is when the guy isn't in charge. You can do whatever the hell you want. Screw him. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. And I want to get in a few things before I say goodbye to you guys, at least on the air. First of all, I want to tell everybody about the front room in case you that was my husband saying good show.
Love you, Phil. Woo-hoo! Love you.
Phil never talks. You know what, Phil? Phil's like, oh, I don't want to hear about the show. Oh, when I come home, he's like, I don't want to hear about it. He never listens. Wow, Phil, thanks for listening.
We love you.
How's Detroit? You better not make trouble on the plane again like last time.
Oh, I love Detroit. I lived in Michigan for a while, too. So.
Yeah, so let's give a shout-out to the front room. Do you know they're having this party on Saturday night? Do you know about this?
No.
Okay. I was with them on Monday. I didn't hear
that. So I think they just organized it this week. Front room is moving.
Yeah.
We know that. And they're having a party Saturday night. I will be there helping people with their anxiety and giving out prescriptions. Anxiety about change because of the front room moving. Moving is very anxiety causing, but it'll be a really fun time. And you guys out there should all come to this.
At the gallery?
It's at the gallery, and everything's going to be cleared out in the back, so there's going to be the party is going to rock, and there are other performers. So come to that party Saturday night. I don't have the details, but I'll put it on my Facebook page. And I want to talk about Sabelli's artwork, her video. This is so awesome. It's at an A-list gallery. Petzl, tell us about it. Sabelli, you got 2 minutes, and we want to hear about it.
Okay, so the show We Need to Talk at Petzl Gallery is already on. They had an open call for videos, and I've been working this video the last 6 months, and one is
fabulous.
The whole video come out about the politics the moment they start to casting fingers, and the video is called The Thread Has a Finger. So it's 1 minute and a half, but it's a Petzl Gallery. The show is amazing. If you are feeling alone right now, about the whole, the whole political situation, go to the gallery, watch the videos, and watch the show as well. It's beautiful.
So what is the show political?
Yes.
And what political? We know what that
it's
means.
It's basically anti-Trump.
Anti-Trump show. But your piece looked particularly interesting. It was, explain it.
So I cast fingers that they hang in a thread, and the whole my idea was can be a bigger metaphor. You can go and have your own reading, but to me it was this whole situation about fake news and all these threads and people being mean to each other online. There's always an agenda. The agenda was dividing us as much as they could, and they did it. So the video is all these fingers rotating everywhere in any direction. And we get this kind of almost like a vertigo sense of what's going on here. So, but you can go on my Facebook and we can see the video over there as well.
I have. It's really an awesome video.
It's a fantastic video.
Yeah. We have already 700 views, but now if you can go to 3,000 views, I'm almost like.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll put a link on it. I'll link it to the Facebook thing about this show too, so people can see it.
Also, if we start to put more info together about getting together for a big meeting or planning, we have a Facebook page called Bushwick Rebels.
Yes.
Oh, I did not know
a group,
that.
A Bushwick group.
A group. Sorry, yes. A group.
Oh, and I did not know that. We need to.
Yeah, we put pictures
going.
Over there. So if you're gonna want to see pictures about the bus,
the
we have tons of pics of the march.
I did not know that. Why didn't you tell me that?
I'm sorry. So much information.
We're telling you now, Jesus. And that's where we'll put updated info.
Okay, so.